This is a podcast from the Refugee Study Centre. To learn more about our work, please visit www.rsc.ox.ac.uk.
So we are ready to start this final session of today's workshop, and the topic of this last three papers is migration and revolution, and we're going to explore this relationship through both a more theoretical understanding of the way that uprisings relate to movements and mobility, but also through specific case studies, and in particular an approach to exploration of the maps and the idea of mapping and cartographies, and the extent to which the way that we represent visually migration flows and routes affect also our understanding of what's going on in the Mediterranean area. Our first speaker for today is Dr. Nicolas Vanier from Compass, Deputy Director of Compass, who is going to talk about flight and fight. The second speaker is Professor Phil Mafflett from the University of East London, who is going to address the relationship between revolution and mixed migration in Egypt. And finally, we got three speakers, Marta Bellingreri, Martina Tazzioli, and Francesca Zampagni, who will be talking about the Tunisian mobility and mapping. Okay, let's leave the floor to Nick.
Well, I'm going to offer some very rather general remarks, because I haven't done research, unlike my great colleagues and the earlier presentations we've had on the Arab uprising. But I'm going to try and set them in the context of the wider wave of global protest that's gone on over the last few years. And what I've got to say complements or develops or picks up some of the threads in the previous session very much, Hélène's and Nadia's and Julia's points, which were presentations which I it's going to develop some of those threads. So let me start with a very commonplace, rather simple observation, that it's educated but largely jobless youngish people, including many with tertiary education, the point was made in the last session, that appear to be the drivers of both recent worldwide protests and much global migration. And this seems to be the case as much in the so-called global north as in the so-called emerging countries. People in their 20s and 30s in both of those worlds protest and move, and sometimes do both. And I think this somewhat obvious observation perhaps deserves greater attention than it's received to date. For what is the relationship, if any, between burgeoning international migration and the recent upsurge of global protest or resistance movements, the Indignados, Occupy, anti-austerity protests in the global north and global south, the Arab uprisings that we're talking about today, and the like. So I'm going to start with one commentator on the protest, Paul Mason, a journalist who's covered many of the protests and has quite what I think is quite a good analysis of them. As he puts it, he says, at the centre of the protest movement is a new sociological type, the graduate with no future. This sociological type, as he calls it, is often both transnational and has some sort of class characteristics. He says they recognise one another as part of an international subclass with behaviours and aspirations that easily cross borders. The boom years of globalisation have created a mass transnational culture of being young and educated. Now there is a mass transnational culture of disillusionment. A more optimistic version of the emergence of this group is to see them as part of the shift in the global political economy over the last few decades, the so-called expanding middle that some people are talking about, by which is meant both the rise of middle-income countries and the connected phenomenon of the expansion of the global middle class as a result of the success of globalization, in the words of these commentators. It's no coincidence then that the protest